Well, meanwhile, here in the U.S., the CDC announced today that starting on Monday, all travelers who come to the U.S. from Ebola-affected countries will be monitored for 21 days, given kits to help track their temperature, and asked to report to health officials daily. NPR's Jason Beaubien returned to Washington from Liberia before that mandate. This was his third trip to the region. And so, Jason, nice to speak with you on this soil.
Yes, good to speak with you as well, Robin.
And you told us when you were last in Liberia that you saw a marked difference there. You saw more aid workers. And also when you were there, those treatment centers opened. So what is happening at the treatment centers? Are they effective? They were meant to bring people out of the hospitals to free up beds for people without Ebola, bring people out of their homes so they wouldn't infect families into these specific treatment centers. What did you see?
Yeah, absolutely. And they are accomplishing that. As soon as new ones open, they fill up with Ebola patients. So clearly there's a huge need for them. What is really interesting, particularly in the capital of Liberia, in Monrovia, it seems that you have gotten enough beds right now that you actually end up having some empty beds at most of the facilities. But unlike before, where they were turning people away, now they actually say, yes, we can be taking people, and they are taking people. I went to the Doctors Without Borders ELWA 3 hospital in Monrovia, and they actually have a drive-up triage section where people come in. There are the guys there in like the spacesuits ushering the cars in, and they come into this like fenced-in area, and then about 12 feet away under this tent, a doctor stands there and they yell back and forth to the people that are in the taxis or in the cars, asking them about their symptoms and trying to do this sort of triage dance as these vehicles are coming in. And if they determine that it is an Ebola patient, they take them out, often carry them out. And there is a constant flow of people coming through there, which just shows you how this outbreak is still not under control.
Well, you tell one story of what happens sometimes when the doctors don't think that they are Ebola candidates and tell them to go to the hospital.
Yeah, there was this one guy that came up and he had a relative in the back seat, and he was trying to get the Ebola hospital to admit this guy. And the doctor was saying, clearly, this is not Ebola. And he's saying, well, just let him in anyway, because if you don't tell me and you don't test him for Ebola, then none of the other hospitals will treat him. And we've tried getting him help elsewhere, but they won't take him because they think he's an Ebola patient. You're telling me he's not. And the people at the hospital said, we can't bring him in here because he's likely to pick it up from the other patients around him. Mm. So this guy just was sort of unable to get any healthcare anywhere.
What a catch-22.
Yeah.
You mentioned people pulling up in taxis, too. We hear that taxi cab drivers are being enlisted to help out. You know, they're on the front lines.
A lot of people in this part of the world don't own their own cars. So people often use taxis to get around. And by taxis, we're talking about sort of beat up old Datsuns oftentimes. You know, it used to be that you get like six people packed into them, and they've actually passed new laws saying that you can't pack people in the way they used to. But the taxi drivers are being enlisted to try to help, both to identify people who they think might be and to protect the taxi drivers themselves, mm-hmm. teaching them how to clean out their vehicles, how to spray down the back seats, and try to stop these vehicles from being a vessel for transmission.
Well, Jason, we've been talking about Liberia, and we want to get some more thoughts on that. But meanwhile, what is your sense of where this virus is in Guinea?
You know, Guinea is where this outbreak began. It did seem like Guinea was getting it under control way back, you know, earlier on this year. It seemed like this was going to get taken care of and wrapped up like other Ebola outbreaks in the past. Then it came surging back. So you still are having a significant outbreak in Guinea, although it is at a lower level than in both Sierra Leone or Liberia. Part of the problem is that the U.S. has sort of taken on Liberia as its country, and Britain has taken on Sierra Leone as the country it's focusing most of its efforts on. There's been sort of an assumption that France was going to play that role in Guinea. It has to some degree, but it has not been at the level that either Britain has done in Sierra Leone or the U.S. has done in Liberia. It still continues to have this virus spreading quite widely.
Well, and meanwhile, this was your third trip to West Africa. This is your first time home to the U.S. since the cases arose here. How's that different returning?
It's night and day coming back this time. I mean, before I just flew through the airport, came in, you know, got out of the airport, no big deal. This time, I came in at Dulles. I have the global entry thing where you can do that little computer thing. Usually they just wave you right through. Big X came up. They sent me over to talk to the Customs and Border Patrol people. They asked me some questions about what I'd been doing in Liberia. I got sent over to another secondary screening place where they again were asking me more questions. They did not take my temperature when I got in at Dulles. Now everyone is going to have their temperature taken who's going into this secondary screening. But they also gave me a note to give to a doctor. If I end up in a clinic, it's got the number for the CDC that the doctor should call. The other thing, however, is just the atmosphere here is very different. I mean, clearly people are much more concerned about this. And you feel it. There are some people who clearly are uncomfortable having me in their presence. And I understand that people are afraid, but we do have to put this in perspective. We can't just say that because people have been in West Africa or people are West African that they have Ebola. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're there, you can see how this disease gets spread. It is containable. You can stay safe while you're there. And I think we do need to keep that in mind as we think about this entire outbreak and think about the aid workers and journalists and other people who are going back and forth trying to get it under control.
But meanwhile, Jason, you have family, friends. Are you imposing some sort of a semi-different behavior yourself? Are you going to be taking your temperature? Are you going to refrain from hugging? What's your thought?
You know, it is interesting. I mean, some news organizations are keeping their people out for 21 days. That sends the message that anyone who's been in West Africa is somehow going to be carrying this virus back. I don't think that that is necessary. However, I refrain from hugging people. I avoid shaking hands with people just because I know that some people are uncomfortable with it. But if it turns out that I ended up somehow getting Ebola over there, they have to throw out the book in terms of how this disease is transmitted. It's transmitted by people who are caring for people who are very sick, who are touching people who are very sick. And that's not at all what I was doing over there. That never happened while I was there. Yeah. And I know that. But I do try to just make people a little bit more comfortable around me. For the next few weeks, I'm just keeping to myself, my own little body bubble here.
That's Jason Beaubien, NPR's global health correspondent, recently back from Liberia. Jason, thank you so much.
You're welcome.